Hello, beautiful souls.
We bring you conscious content filled with empowering information.
Designed to align you with the fulfilling freedom of activated awareness.
I am Rachel Alcyon.
And I am Daniel Alcyon.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Existence Podcast. Coming at you live from Ireland.
Woo-woo! Ireland!
All right. We made it. We're here in Ireland. This is the Ecstatic Existence Podcast, and you're checking into a different kind of episode. You know, usually we have interviews with leaders in health, wellness, and spirituality from around the planet, and now you are joining into our personal family holiday UK adventure travel log.
And this is not the first time we've done this. We have had many of these kinds of episodes because as a family, we absolutely love to travel. I think it's one of the quickest ways to expand your consciousness and really learn a lot about history and different cultures. And so I think it's the best form of education. And so, go back and check out our Iceland travel log that Daniel and I did about a year and a half ago. Go back and check out our travels from last summer.
The Amazing Race.
The Amazing Race.
European
and then
Adventure.
Check out the ones that we did this summer too.
Yeah.
So yeah, you may have already heard our experiences in Iceland and England and Wales. And now we are sharing our experiences about our time in Ireland with you.
Yeah, so right when we got off the boat, we needed to find lodging. And so
it was a full travel day. We had our multiple hour experience on the ferry across the Irish Sea.
And then we had a lot of driving to do because we wanted to make our way down to Cork to be able to strategically position ourselves for all of the fun that we were going to be having down in Southern Ireland.
So it was like a 3-hour boat ride and then a 3-hour drive.
Yeah, and Daniel's phone is the only one that works over here. And so one of the things that we needed to do is while he drives, I help navigate and look up where we're going to be staying if we're going to choose a campsite for that night. And so I found one that was where we needed to be. And we got there and all seemed pretty well.
Now, to catch you up to speed, if you haven't heard of these previous ones, we are traveling by RV. So we're in a motorhome that we picked up in England and we're driving around. And you can choose to camp just out in the middle of nowhere, if you can find it, or at a campsite. And so,
but we will have you know that choosing to camp on the side of the road or out in the middle of nowhere is actually illegal in most of the UK other than in Scotland. Scotland, they're great. You can do whatever the heck you want. But everywhere else, it's illegal, and you must find a campsite. So we have been participating in some illegal activity
It's
better.
It's better.
The campsite's really the only reason you would ever go to one is to maybe shower, do some laundry, and empty your poo tank, and then refill your water. Because there's, I mean, even if they're beautiful, there's just not much there. So, anyway, we found our campsite. We got there. We were the only ones there. And in fact, the woman that I spoke to on the phone, she was not even home. And by this time, it's probably 8:30 at night. And so it was also awesome of her to let us in because a lot of places you have to check in by like 5 or 6 at night.
Or they close a gate or something and you can't access the campsite.
And they don't have late check-ins. So when you can find a place that has a late check-in, oh, that's even better. So she was like, oh yeah, no problem. Come on in. So we were the only ones there.
And Rachel checked all the, you know, facilities and what's there. Oh, well, do you have water? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you have power?
Yeah, power. Do you have a bathroom? Yeah. Do you have Wi-Fi? Oh, no, no. A lot of places, like, said no, of course. Like, it was crazy to want to have Wi-Fi.
No, no, no.
And when we get there, right, we park. I find a place where the only vehicle, like Rachel said, I park our RV, I hook us up to power and all that. And we were just going to have our evening. And this one was really, it was just like a grass lawn pretty much in a house's backyard.
Yeah, it was a residential neighborhood, and this lady just basically let people park on her backyard.
But you had to pay.
Kind of right off the freeway.
And it was one of the more expensive ones that we had been to, actually.
So, as we're there, we're eating our dinner, and we got a little knock on the door, and the owner lady came in and said, oh, okay, great, you found it, and you're all hooked up. Okay, great, I see that, yes. So, that'll be, oh, are there any, there are children here? And like, yes, there's 2 kids.
Just the one night. Yes.
And she's doing some, like, quick math in her head.
And you're hooked up to power, yes.
Okay, yes. Okay, so that'll be a €30. €30, please. We're like, oh, okay. Which, mind you, these other campsites we've been staying in so far,
that would have been... The most expensive was 28, and it was amazing.
And had all the facilities, and had Wi-Fi, and had everything.
A gorgeous bathroom. Right? Meanwhile, Daniel's saying, like, do not use this bathroom here. It's awful.
It's,
Don't even bother going in there.
It's like a glorified outhouse, and smells really bad, and, like, it's just not a cool sight. Not something that you would even want to take a shower in. It just wasn't nice.
So, yeah, so she's wanting the most expensive, and I'm like, oh, but, you know, now it's 9:30.
We're already parked.
We just ate dinner. We're, like, settling in. We all, you know, we're getting in our pajamas.
And so Rachel goes to pay the woman.
Yeah, whatever, we'll just pay.
Gets out her card, and she's like, oh, no, I don't take a card, cash only.
Well, that would have been nice to have mentioned on the phone.
Right.
So we're like, well...
Where do we get cash? Is there a place around here that we could just, like, walk to? Because, mind you, she's right off the freeway. So, it is a little residential neighborhood, but, like, a major freeway is right there. So, I figured there might be something close, a little mini-mart or something.
So, yeah, she says, oh, yeah, you have to drive down, you know...
Like, 10 minutes down the road.
10 minutes down the road. So, we're like, oh, great. So, in order for us to drive, we have to secure everything. Everything has to be put away. So,
now we unplug the power cord, wind it back up, put it back in, turn the gas tank back off.
Right. It's not as easy as just, like, hopping in your car or getting on your bike or whatever. So, it's a whole to-do. So, it takes us a while to pack up. We get going. We finally drive. And we get gas. And
at the gas station, all of a sudden, Rachel's like, what if we don't go back?
I'm like, I don't want to go back. We've already driven. It just didn't make any sense to me. I'm like, we're already not there. Like, let's just keep driving towards the destination where we would like to be.
Yeah, and being that the bathrooms were awful and there was no Wi-Fi, she had nothing to offer us that we already didn't have, you know?
Right. We were already going to be self-sufficient
anyway. And our bathroom is even better in here than the one that was there.
Very true. And so, you know, we decided to not go back. We didn't go back. We just moved on down the road, and we ended up finding a little residential neighborhood to park in and stay the night.
Yeah, it was great. Worked out really well, and we got up bright and early the next day, and we went over to Blarney Castle, which has been on my list for a while, and we were able to see the gorgeous castle, incredible grounds. There's so much magic afoot there. And kissed the Blarney Stone. We climbed all the way up through this castle. It was super windy day. And so being windy. Up on the roof of this castle, we all were almost getting blown off. I mean, I had to, like, hang on to my scarf and my sunglasses and the wall so I didn't, like, topple over and fly away.
I was
holding on to the wall and the handrail at the same time.
It was pretty scary. It was, like, exhilarating and terrifying.
Yeah, Blarney Castle is really cool. Lots of great history there. And then kissing the Blarney Stone has been a tradition for so long. You know, it originally was...
During Elizabethan time, there was a... Queen Elizabeth had sent a guy over to go claim Blarney Castle.
Basically as a conqueror.
Right, so go get the castle. Let me know when it's done.
Claim it for England. Let me know.
Right, so he goes over to Ireland to claim the castle... And, like, all these many months go by. Meanwhile, Queen Elizabeth is having correspondence with this dude. Like, what the heck is taking so long? Like, this was an easy job. Like, you just had to go claim the castle, storm the walls, blah, blah, blah.
And he's dilly-dallying. He's like, oh, well, I mean, the people are so nice here. And, you know, okay, I'm getting to it. Give me a little more time. And then Queen Elizabeth ended up just saying, like, well, what a bunch of blarney. And this all stemmed from the fact that the guy that owned the castle and was living in the castle at the time was a sweet talker.
Oh, he could talk the pants off anybody, and he just was able to hold this other guy at bay and would charm him into not taking over his land. So,
and so the Blarney Stone now, if you kiss the Blarney Stone, it's said to give you the gift of gab. So you could, and there's a line, there's all these plaques that are cool. It talks about, like, the difference between Blarney and Bologna.
Right. Bologna is, like, so saturated with sugar that you can just...
That it makes you sick.
Makes you sick, yeah.
And, like, no one wants to hear it.
It's like if there's an elderly lady and you're like, oh, you're so beautiful
your
and
skin
young.
Is so radiant. Oh, ma'am, are you 17? All of this kind of garbage,
right? It's like,
right?
Whatever, dude, who are you fooling? So that's a bunch of bologna.
Whatever, dude.
But Blarney is, like, just enough. It's, like, just laid on thick enough to be believable and have some semblance of truth, but just kind of be, like, buttered up a little
right.
bit.
Right. You know that they're really sweet talking to you, but it feels so good.
It feels good. So we kissed the Blarney Stone, which is an interesting thing because it's on part of the rampart wall and there's not a floor underneath it. And it would be, I would say, maybe about at like knee height or lower, but there's no floor there. So it's like they have this setup. They used to, two guards or two people would hold someone upside down by their ankles.
Oh my God.
Head down wearing, so that they could kiss the stone.
Terrible. Yeah, and wearing dresses even. Ladies would kiss the Blarney Stone.
Yep. And it was a whole deal to even get that done. But they've set up a little safer now, so you have to like lay on your back on this mat, and they have a spotter. This young Irish man is a spotter.
And there are these metal handrails that you can hold onto, but you still have to lay down, hang over the edge really far back.
Upside down, kind of.
And I mean, and it's super windy, and you can see all the way down to the ground, and... they do have, like, a bar down there so that if you did fall, you would just...
It wouldn't be as far.
It wouldn't be as far, and you would just, like, crunch onto the grate. But right. So, yeah, there's some... Yeah, a little bit of terror involved, and...
Oh, and so many famous people have kissed the Blarney Stone. It's it was quite a big thing. So, we did it, and I'm really glad we did. It was amazing. The grounds of Blarney Castle, like Rachel said, just gorgeous. And there were some really cool features there. There's so much magic there. There's an old stone circle. It was super ancient. There's a druid's dolmen, like a druid's cave that a holy man used to live in. And then the owners of the land would like tend to him and kind of give him some food now and then. There was a witch stone and the witch's kitchen that actually had a stone cut chimney up through the wall of the cave.
Yeah, and the cool thing is that there's this amazing stone stairwell, and so you had to walk backwards. You had to walk down and back these stairs with your eyes closed, holding the intention
of your wish.
And so if you were so steadfast in your desire for this particular wish, the witch will grant it in exchange for firewood. And so we each did this, and it was really quite powerful. There was a moment through the stairwell that I felt some fear, and then I felt calm, and I had a whole sensation of feelings, you know, walking with my eyes closed down these stairs and back backwards.
Yeah, the
backwards,
the
right?
Wishing scary. Stairs at Blarney Castle. Super cool. It was amazing. If you get an opportunity, definitely check that out. It was probably one of the highlights in our entire Irish experience.
Yeah, and right, the wood that she gets, she uses in the witch's kitchen. And there's legend has it that if you go to her kitchen early, early in the morning at dawn, you can still see some embers and smolderings from her fire through the night.
Breakfast.
Yeah, from the witch's breakfast. And, you know, from Blarney Castle, we headed on to the lovely St. Anne's Cathedral.
Oh, gorgeous abbey. It was beautiful. Yeah.
And St. Anne's Cathedral, the real star of the show there, is what's called the Shandon Bells.
Yeah, their bell tower. At one point, it was the tallest bell tower in all of the UK.
And the largest clock as well.
The largest clock. And so we...
And it was only topped by Big Ben. So until Big Ben was built... The Shandon Tower at St. Anne's was the largest clock and the tallest tallest clock tower.
Yeah, and so we got to climb, I don't know, hundreds of feet of stairs up to the top.
And I got to play Ode to Joy on the bells.
Yeah, and so they let you ring the bells.
Yeah, they have it set up with several notes, like a whole scale that mm-hmm. you can play. And they have a songbook nearby that, you know, it shows you which order to pull the ropes
like
in.
A, B, G, E.
Yeah, and you just pull these ropes in one room, and you are literally ringing the church bells for the entire city.
And you have to put on these really where the big bells are, so you pull the strings down below, and you can hear it ripple out throughout the town. And then when you climb up even farther, the big, huge bells, I mean, they're bigger than we are.
Yeah, and they all have cool inscriptions on them, too, like prosperity to all and all these great things printed on the bells.
And you kind of have to, like, duck and climb through and up and over. Like, I don't think in the U.S. they would let you do this setup.
No. Beams and old apparatus and machinery and pulleys and...
And old ladders.
Right, like, you could get hit in the head by the bell and while you're standing just on a narrow beam.
Like, low doorways, you got to duck under...
Liberty ran up there, and then she, at first, and then she ran back down. She got kind of spooked up in the bell tower by herself.
It's wild. It was really cool to see. And then if somebody was down below actually ringing the bells by pulling the cords, you could see the mechanisms in action, like these big sledgehammers hooked to pulleys that would strike the bell. Yeah. So here's what it sounds like.
Joy.
Yep, there was Merritt playing the Shandon bells.
Well, it was done, really Merritt. Cool. Well, so then it was time for us to start making our way north again, and I had really had my heart set on going to the Donkey Sanctuary.
Me too.
You know, but when you're doing a trip like this, you kind of have to whittle it down and pick and choose, and we also knew that we really wanted to get out to the most mystical place in all of Ireland.
What that's called. Logur. Yeah, I missed that.
Logur. We knew that we really wanted to get out to Logur, and so I was so excited that this donkey sanctuary was along the way. Because when I think of Ireland, I do think of donkeys, you know? It's like on the movie Far and Away, where he, like, gets a donkey, and the donkey runs off, and everybody else gets a horse, but he gets a donkey. Anyway, it's a whole thing, so I kind of associate those two. I'm like, come on, Daniel. I'm like, talking to everybody in the family. I'm like, don't you think of donkeys when you think of Ireland? And they're like, no. Like, not really. Not at all.
I just wanted to see the donkeys.
Yeah, so we get there. It was awesome.
It was so great.
The town is so proud of their donkey sanctuary. There's like formal placards and signs leading you there.
Yeah, road sign, like official city-issued road signs, you know. And they do a great thing there because a lot of these donkeys are taken in from getting overworked and abused.
Yeah, and donkey abuse is really on the rise right now in Ireland and in the whole world, actually.
And so they'll overload them, they'll overwork them, they, you know, won't give them good
conditions.
They'll
beat them, they'll starve them, they neglect them, they just leave them out in a pasture and don't do anything with them.
Yep, don't tend to their hooves or whatever. So they've really given all of these donkeys a whole new lease on life. They have so much acreage to roam around on and graze, and they have medical attention and veterinary care, and they get so much love because what we witnessed is people would just come and love on these donkeys. Some of the elderly would even just come and sit. A whole group of elderly people would just sit on benches and just watch them. Just look at them. And kind of talk to
them. They're so fascinating. And the donkey energy is, like, really chill. I haven't spent much time around donkeys at all. And I don't really feel, like, a huge affinity or draw towards them, really. But being around the donkeys, they're, like, even more chill than horses.
I think so. Horses almost feel a little more unpredictable.
Yeah. At first, I wasn't really wanting to do the whole donkey sanctuary thing. I was like, wow, this is going to be so dumb. Like, I did not want to go.
Like, we got out of the camper, and Liberty is like, hey, guys, not gonna lie, I'm not really that into this.
I'm not so excited.
Yeah, but, and then I saw one of the donkeys that I really liked, and then I just sat there and pet it for a while, so it's cool.
Yeah, you got to pet the donkeys.
They have really soulful eyes and beautiful faces, and
really kind.
Really just kind.
Sweet, gentle.
You know, and I just, I'm such a bleeding heart. My heart goes out to any creature that has had a rough plight. You know, I want to save all the wounded birds. And so some of them look really especially beat down.
Like Loken.
Yeah.
He was really sad.
He was super sad.
Yeah, there was so, one yeah, donkey that was names. Like Eeyore, man. This donkey was just such a gloomy, gloomy dude.
Yeah, really sad. And some of them are just, like, gorgeous and super soft, and their patternings are amazing, and a characteristic of a donkey that I didn't know is that they have this zebra stripe.
Just one. Some of them. Well, this one breed, this one specific kind of donkey has, like, this one dark brown stripe down their gray body.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Like, oh yeah, cool. They're, like, cousins.
Yeah, so pretty. So, one of the cool things that the Donkey Sanctuary in Ireland does is they do donkey adoptions. And so,
not like you get to take them or anything.
Not like you get to take them home, but we adopted an Irish donkey.
Yeah, so we got to look through the adoption pamphlets and see which one we wanted to adopt. And
Locan was one of them. And
So we ended up getting Julie Ann, who she was born there.
She was born there.
So her mother came in pregnant.
They have a strict no breeding policy because they don't want to just have more and more donkeys to take care of and, you know, give home to for the rest of their life. But if a donkey of a mare comes in pregnant, the donkey that's born has a home for life.
And a really prestigious home as well.
Yeah, they called her the princess donkey.
Yeah, she was the princess. And so we did actually, they have a very strict no breeding policy, but we did see some donkeys trying to get down. And so all the donkeys are super chill and quiet. And then this one
donkey... heard a peep. We'd been there for so long.
Yeah, probably been there for an hour and nobody was making any noise at all. Then, out in another pasture, this one dude is just trying to hump on this one donkey, and the whole lot of them start heeing and hawing and just
braying.
You got an impression of that, Daniel?
Oh my gosh, I can't do it.
It's your classic, like, hee-haw, hee-haw.
So loud.
So loud. Yeah, we left super proud that we got to adopt a donkey and felt like we really made a difference in the world momentarily.
We have a certificate and a lovely portrait of Julianne.
Yeah, she's adorable. Then we made our way to the most mystical place in all of Ireland. That's their claim to fame. And
Loughgur. L-O-U-G-H, which is like lake. It's like their lake. G-U-R. Loughgur.
Lake. And by the time we got there, their information center was just starting to close up, but they were super helpful.
Really helpful. Let us use their phone to make a call.
Yep, to see about lodging, and they pointed us in all the right directions, and this lake is absolutely stunning. Sweeping views. So we climbed up the hill through the fairy...
the entrance to the fairy realm.
Yep, and there were all these really cool fairy houses, and...
little, like, doors and windows on the trees.
Yeah, portals to Fairyville. Stunning views.
Great place. And there's a legend that there's a sunken city in this lake.
And we actually saw part of the sunken city. And they have so many legends, actually, around this area of, around the land there. And another one is that there was, like, a duke or the lord or somebody that would, once every 7 years, would be seen riding on a white horse with silver feet, with silver shoes.
Across the lake.
On the lake. And he would, like...
like, rip out people's hearts or something?
Yeah, he would, like, claim one person's heart.
Yeah.
Beating heart and eat it or something.
Kind of like some Headless Horseman style.
It is like that.
That going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really interesting. And we found a great place to stay that night. We discovered on the way, heading from Loughgur to our lodging for the night, just driving along, and all of a sudden... a breathtaking castle ruin was, like, right off the side of the road. I didn't even see it marked on a map or anything.
No, I think it was somebody's private property. Like, they were lucky enough to have a ruin on their land.
Yeah.
On their farmland.
Just amazing. So we jumped out and got a bunch of photos of there. But I just thought it was so neat that, like, just driving down the side of the road, turn a corner, and then, like, whoa! It was like, you saw it and just instantly went, whoa! It was really cool.
I mean, I feel like it's like that everywhere through... the UK is just like every 5 minutes there's some amazing ruin of something or something old. Oh, we gotta look at this old thing.
Yeah. So we took the time that night. We slept in the morning for the first time in quite some time. So we really did sleep in. And then
felt so good.
Our next destination that day was to head into the city, into Dublin. And we hadn't really been in an actual city since we got in to the UK. We didn't really do London. We just kind of, you know, did some smaller towns and jumped in our RV traveling around. And even in Wales, the biggest cities we went into weren't like huge cities. And so going into Dublin was a big deal. And I did not want to take the motorhome into the heart of Dublin and try to find a place to park it. So we had this great idea that we would find a
park and ride
on the outskirts of town and then jump on a train or a bus into the city. Well, we were directed by a man at the campsite that we should look for the Red Cow Park and Ride.
Red Cow.
So, we did. We found it on Google. I went to the Red Cow Park and Ride, got there in the parking lot, but then Rachel's looking at the map on Google Maps, and she says, well, but I see this, like...
It says Red Cow is over here.
The pin, or there's this name that says Red Cow that's, like, two blocks away over this way. A few blocks away. And so I'm like, oh, okay, I mean, I'm kind of thinking, can't we just walk? And then she's like, well, I mean, why would we do that? Why could we not just go over this? I'm like, okay, cool. Let's just drive over there a couple blocks away. Meanwhile, somehow, just driving two blocks away, it's set up, the city is set up in such a way, you can't do that.
Oh, anytime you get on the, you have to get on the freeway. It's like the freeway runs through the city, and if you're on one side of it, you can't just, like, drive across a freeway overpass to, like, get to no the other side.
Bridges or overpasses.
No, there's no bridges. So you have to drive all the way down to the next exit, do a turnaround, and get back on to going the a different way.
Right. It was crazy. You know, instead of just going literally, I'm going to say a quarter mile in one direction, we had to drive multiple miles in one direction, do a U-turn, come back multiple miles the other direction. It was like a 4-point cloverleaf U-turn.
Ended up driving through part of the city anyway.
Yeah.
So here we are, like, driving in Dublin, which we didn't want to do.
Kind of getting some traffic.
Just to, like, hop back off to go drive another 20 minutes back to the park and ride that we were already at, because it turns out we were actually already in the right spot.
Red Cow is the neighborhood or the area, and the thing that Rachel found on the map was, like, the Red Cow Inn or hotel, which right. we didn't want to be in.
No.
And we had to go back to the park and ride we were originally at. So it was so funny because it was, like, one wrong turn to get us a quarter mile ended up taking, like, almost an hour of driving around frustration.
Yeah, it was learning. And I think we did pretty good, actually, all in all.
But towards the end, some people freaked out.
Yeah, it was pretty tense. And especially, you know, when you're driving in circles and doing things for no reason and just wasting time and gas and, and you know, Daniel's, like, done driving.
Yeah, well, I was so happy when we found the parking lot. I was like, yeah, I get to, like, hop out and be the passenger for a little while. And then I had to drive, like, an hour more to get to the same spot I already was in.
And oh my gosh. Ended up going to a gas station anyway.
So, yeah, we hopped on a bus. We got down into Dublin. Dublin was awesome. Liberty was just, like, lit up over Dublin because...
it was hopping. Really busy, busy, cool active city. And we made our way towards the Temple Bar District, which is kind of one of the most, maybe the tourist rich. It's, like, a really busy... Picture Bourbon Street, New Orleans.
Yes,
like,
that's kind of what area. This is.
And it's a whole street of bars and restaurants and... shops.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't drink, but I just thought, how cool. Like, here we are in Ireland, like, we should go to an Irish pub.
Because the kids are allowed
Kids are allowed in the pub all over Ireland, because it's not even a thing. We'll get some really great food, and check off one of the oldest, I think it's actually the oldest, the first bar in Dublin, which is the Temple Bar, so...
We made it. We got our way in there.
It's really lovely.
So loud, so... rambunctious in there. It was really cool. I mean,
we actually found a table and sat down, and then we're looking at the menu and we're like, dude, it's so loud in here. And
there was, like, a couple things on the menu we could have made work. We, like, could have made them work. And meanwhile, we're, like, yelling to each other at the table,
which I feel like, Daniel, you and I could have, like, rolled with that, because I mean, clearly we've been to bars in our life and we know what that's all about. But so we looked at the kids and we're like, kids, what do you want to do?
And their eyes are kind of glazing over. And
yeah, let's go.
So we just left and found a place right across the street, had some great food, and, you know, then it continued to explore the neighborhood. And as we went around a corner, we heard all this noise, right? Like, we heard this really loud area. It sounded like a busker or something going on. And as we turned the corner, there was, like, a 3 or 4 piece band plugged in electric, playing all these cover songs, like American rock and roll.
And the crowd is going wild. It all was these, like, cover we're songs. In an awesome concert. Like, people are running up to, you know, putting their arm around your shoulder.
There's a whole alley full of people. Like, there were people as far as you can see.
Yeah, people are on each other's shoulders. Everybody's drunk. Jumping it was up hilarious. And down. It was so awesome. Everybody's videotaping. Everybody's putting it on social media.
I had to get on Daddy's shoulders because I couldn't see because I was too small. And
everyone these two
was
big Irish dudes helped you get on your dad's shoulders, too.
Yeah.
It was super fun.
Oh, man. And so, and like, let's take a little transport into the alley and you can hear what was going on there.
Thank you.
So as we wrapped up our time in Dublin, which was super fun and super exciting, it was a big shift in energy from all the countryside we'd seen, we headed with our next destination being Newgrange.
Which I had not really heard of before, and actually most people haven't heard of Newgrange, which I think is sad and kind of mind-blowing considering it is a...
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing and a historical land, you know, what are they calling those? It's a World Heritage Site.
Yeah. Well, so we looked for a spot to park near Newgrange and couldn't really find one, so we ended up doing another roadside camping. And the next morning, we got right in to the site of Newgrange. And now, Newgrange is the world's oldest intact man-made structure.
So it predates the pyramids by 1,000 years.
Predates Stonehenge. It's, you know, there are older structures on the planet, but anything that's older than Newgrange is in ruin. It's falling apart.
Yeah. So that, I mean, the energy there I felt like was more intense and more palpable than even at Stonehenge.
You know? I absolutely agree.
There were less tourists and...
And you got to be more hands-on, because Stonehenge, they kept us away with a barrier rope and a security guard and all that. And at Newgrange, we got a tour led, and we got to go into the heart of the monument.
Yeah, of the tomb. And so we're touching all of these giant stones that they had moved themselves.
Huge.
Yeah, huge. And ducking in and going into this small central chamber that not even a drop of water had made its way in there since
in
its 5,000 years building, which is profound. And it has this sort of cathedral ceiling, which is also a feat of genius. And the reason the monument has not toppled over is because of the way that they built the arching ceiling.
All the outside is, well, not all of the outside, but some of the outside is rebuilt, but none of the inside is rebuilt. It's all original.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they rebuilt
original.
It with the materials that were already there. So,
yeah.
Another cool thing is that half of the materials were brought over from one coast, and the other half were brought over from another coast.
And then they were all brought from
and brought
coasts.
Into the central. Yeah. Part. I mean, it's almost in the center of Ireland, right? It's just northwest of Dublin.
Yeah, and so a really cool history about it is this was an active temple area. It's like a giant earthen mound with a stone corridor and temple on the inside. And it had been in use. It's a very active place. Then the people that the civilization that was using this purposely sealed it up.
Yep,
they capped it up. They found this giant and carved this giant stone that perfectly covered the doorway, sealed it up, and then walked away from the temple. And meanwhile, the earthen mound above it started to just weigh down in time with nobody to maintain it. And so it covered up the opening completely.
Yeah. So it just looked like a giant hill.
A big, perfectly round hill. Well, then 1,000 years later, around the same time as Stonehenge, so the same civilization that was building the stone circles at Stonehenge, put up a massive stone monument circle around this hill.
Yeah, so clearly this is a hot spot for humans to worship because multiple times they've come here to do so, probably not even knowing about the other.
Yeah.
And another genius thing, a feat of talent and just totally amazes me, is that...
Totally amazing.
When the front door of this temple is open... It's completely dark. You can't see in there even with the front door open. However...
There's no lights, nothing.
Nothing. So, but on the winter solstice at
specific
dawn,
time.
So there's about 5 days around winter solstice where it's the darkest time of the year, so that first glimmer of light, the sunrise will come in, and it shoots a beam of light perfectly through that opening that then goes in and completely illuminates the central chamber.
Only for like
17 minutes.
For so, 5 days a year.
So in their ceremony, they don't know what they would do at all, but they suspect that there would be a group of them in there in the dark. They would gather in the dark and then for 5 days in a row, they would witness the sunrise be illuminated for 17 minutes at the darkest time of the year in this light bath. And they simulated that for us, and I got chills all over my whole body. It was so magnificent, so powerful.
And they actually offer up a lottery for people to experience this. There's 100 because you can only fit about 20 people inside the tomb temple. And so for the 5 days, 20 people each day. So each year, 100 people get to witness this.
I thought it was only 50.
Get to witness this amazing spectacle of the winter solstice light illuminating the temple chamber. And so then the history of this monument, as the time went on, even the stone circle civilization, the Stonehenge civilization, faded away. And it kind of was still revered by the locals. Everybody knew there was something there, but they didn't really know what. And even the stone circle wasn't 100% visible. Some had fallen, some had kind of like...
Been grown over,
or maybe taken for something, who knows. And then a Scottish man buys the land. This is like in the 1600s. Scottish man buys the land, and...
Totally doesn't care about the lore at all.
Doesn't even care that anybody thought this hill was special in any way. And he plans on mining it for stones, probably to build a castle with.
Yeah.
And as he starts digging, the very first stone that they found was the entrance stone at the entrance.
Which is one of the only stones that was elaborately chiseled with the
triskelion, which is this big threefold, it looks like a three-leaf clover, but each one is a spiral. It's this big interconnected triple spiral shape. And that was carved predominantly right on the entry stone, and that's the first thing they found. And so our tour guide was saying that had they come in from any other direction, they would have just found raw stone and dismantled the whole structure. They would have used it and destroyed it, not knowing what they had found.
So how, like, divine and serendipitous that they were, that that's the first one that they got, and that we were able to preserve this World Heritage Site.
So Newgrange really left its mark on me, literally, and you'll hear more about that later.
Then we hauled Bud up north. We had a few things to check off up there. One of them was Moosenden Temple. I had seen some photos of this site, and I was like, oh my gosh, we have got to go there. And I am so glad we did.
It's like a beautiful round temple building right on the edge of a cliff.
Uh-huh. And there's these sweeping meadows. It's just like grass as far as you can see, and then gorgeous cliffside beaches and caves down below, and a really beautiful, it's called Downhill Castle, that was built by a...
Oh, Downhill House. It was built by a bishop.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was the bishop's house. Wow, and he sure lived in the lap of luxury.
This place was skimming a little off the offerings.
Yeah. And the part that we saw was really cool. Just think what it would be when it had all this stuff in it.
I know.
Yeah, and so this wasn't a castle. This was actually, it's called Downhill House, but it does kind of resemble a castle because it was built semi-modern. I think this was like 1800s now. And so semi-modern construction in comparison to some of these castles we've seen.
Also, though, still in alignment with sort of that, you know, that kind of Romanesque architecture.
Yeah, but so all the interior floors and everything have all since rotted away and there's no roof or anything. So it's these large stone concrete walls with window openings and archways and
super symmetrical. Yeah,
it's an amazing place to get some photos and just take it in. Really cool energy.
And lovely gardens as well. Yep. They really did a great job on their garden, and they have beautiful wooded trails.
There was one path that we walked on the way in there that it was like walking along a path right next to a stone wall on the edge of a cliff.
Yeah. And there was also, they had some fun things set up for the kids. And so they had like this like interactive playground.
It was like an adventure trail, they called it. It was like an obstacle course.
And so then there's this little Irish, this kind of tubby Irish kid and his grandpa.
And he's standing on this platform, right? And there's a moat. There's like a little moat with like some water and some like mud in this thing.
And you're supposed to swing across on the rope swing.
Yeah, and he's standing there with this rope in his hand
on
this little platform.
It's relatively easy.
It's maybe like 6 feet crossing. Like it doesn't look too awful, you know?
Yeah, he's clearly standing there getting up the gumption to do it.
And he looks like he's been there for a while. And the grandfather's just kind of watching him.
And Daniel and the girls and I, you know, the girls are closer to this kid's age and they're both so lovely. I think he got a little bit nervous.
And he was like, oh, I got to do this.
And he's like, oh, I got to impress these hot chicks. And so I'm walking on these kind of like balance beam things. Merritt and I are on the balance beams right by him. Oh, and Liberty, yeah, we're all there. And we're just watching him. And then
I was going to do it.
I think you got in line right behind him, didn't you,
Mara? No, I was just...
She says she's going
to
do it.
He gets up the nerve to go, and he misses the platform on the other side. He swings a little short. He basically, like, does a non-swing. Like, there's no momentum.
No.
There's zero momentum. He just kind of, like,
grabbed the rope, and then he one foot made it onto the other side.
But in the mud, not on the platform.
On the mud. And he kind of leans forward, doesn't get a good grip, and just falls ass first into, like, whole body deep into this mud.
Yeah, like, the least graceful way he could have fallen. He didn't just, like, step a foot in. He, like, fell spread eagle on his back into the mud. And the grandfather's only reaction, what did he say? Oh, my God.
You better go home now.
No, he said. Oh, I knew I shouldn't have let you do that or something.
Oh, gosh, I shouldn't have let you done that. He's that, like, was just so foreseeable.
He said, that was so foreseeable. Shouldn't have let you done that. And the kid just kind of, like, muddled himself up and then...
And he's like, and then he was under his breath, he was like, damn it. He was probably like 9 or 10. Damn it.
And then he got out.
He had to do the walk of shame. And
covered in mud.
Whole back covered in mud. And his whole feet were covered in mud too, because he was like, it almost ripped his shoes off, you know. And then so he was deep, like, up to the knee.
The grandpa was also like, we better go home and change now. And
now we've got to go home.
I'm all right. I'm all right.
And I'm like, well, at least did you have fun? And he's like, I did.
And I said, well, that's a real badge of honor. And he says, yes, I guess so.
But it was so, like, yes. It was one of those moments where we all just sort of jaw dropped, wide eyed, like, oh God, did that actually just happen? And we had to keep a straight face. Like, we could not laugh, even though it's one of those things you want to laugh hysterically. But, like, this poor kid, his ego was so bruised.
Oh man. Yeah, that was good stuff.
Yeah, then we made it over to Giant's Causeway, because up at the northern tip of Ireland, in Northern Ireland, there's these just incredible sights every 5 minutes up there. It's kind of like, it felt similar to how Iceland was, where, like, you could just stop along the way.
And Giant's Causeway is the world's foremost formation of basalt columns, basalt rocks. And if you're unfamiliar with what these look like, they are really cool. It looks kind of otherworldly.
Yeah.
The basalt is a black stone, this black volcanic stone.
And they're made of a whole tub of salt, and then they're just...
And they form in typically hexagonal structures. So there's these, like, six-sided hexagonal shapes that are kind of honeycombed. It's almost like you're walking on a black stone honeycomb.
Yeah. Oh, it's super cool. It's out of this world, really.
Yeah,
really awesome. And we had actually seen stuff similar in Iceland, but this is, like, the best specimen because you're able to see every single side. Whereas in Iceland, you know, it would still be bumped up to the wall facing, and so you could only see the front side. But
now you can see all corners and you can see what kind of shape it is.
Yep,
you can walk across the top and all this thing. And there was a wonderful guided tour, and you could choose what kind of information you wanted. Did you want history? Did you want geology?
I chose the family one.
And they really, you know, they really get into a lot of the legend as well about the giants.
Yeah,
they did that in the family one.
That's cool.
So it was really great. Oh my gosh, Giant's Causeway, check that off the list. And then after that super full day, that was like such a full day,
now we're camping at 6 Mile Water.
Yep, which is a massive lake. It's so big. It's the biggest lake in Ireland.
There's actually waves here.
As you pull up to the shore of it, you couldn't see land on the other side. No, like, it looks like you're at the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful. So I'm excited to settle in here for the night and catch our ferry over to Scotland tomorrow.
Yeah. So, one last thing. This was a cool little thing that came across the way of our time in Ireland, is we kept noticing people with these sticks. They were like weird, round-headed hockey sticks, but it was not anything I'd ever seen.
Or like a lacrosse stick, but with no net? It was, we didn't know what it was.
Yeah, almost like a lacrosse stick with a paddle at the end, or like a hockey stick that had been like rounded off, kind of. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up looking it up, and only to discover that this is a sport called hurling. It's the national sport of Ireland, and they love it, and it's a super fast-paced, really exciting game. I've ended up looking up some clips on YouTube about what this game looks like. If you haven't seen hurling, check it out. It is some kind of a mix. The best I can describe, it's like if soccer and hockey and
basketball.
Kind of basketball and kind of polo all muddled together and had a baby. And baseball.
Yeah.
It's wild. So check out hurling. That was an interesting thing from our time here.
Don't really check out hurling.
And we will check in with you from Scotland, continue following our adventure. And if you haven't, go back and check out what led us up to this point.
Yeah, people are getting really inspired by the journey. We're getting all kinds of feedback about people saying, you know, like, I'm just spending my summer here sitting at my house, but I feel like through your adventure, I'm getting to see the world. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So we love you all so much.
Thank you for listening, yeah.
And see you from Scotland.
Bye-bye.
And we got to go into the heart of the monument.
Yeah, of the tomb.
And we got to go into the heart of the monument.
Yeah, of the tomb.
And we got to go into the heart
of the tomb. Yeah, 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 of the tomb.